My name is Ben Greenfield, and on this episode of the Ben Greenfield Life Podcast,
Kava makes you more social, but it does it by quietening you down. And then you're focused on everyone around you, and you're more open to listening to them and having a more meaningful conversation relationship with them. Kratom, you know, its primary use for thousands of years was for workers in the field for endurance. When you mix the two of them together, you get the best of both worlds.
Faith, family, fitness, health, performance, nutrition, longevity, ancestral living, biohacking, and a whole lot more. Welcome to the show.
I get laughed at, maybe because it's a little bit woo-woo, esoteric, invisible, whatever, but I use quantum energy. I pray over my food when I eat. I try and emanate positive emotions and feelings towards people. I do like little breath work and Tibetan longevity exercise moves to charge up my body with invisible energy. And yes, I even blast my home and my body with certain quantum energy products like necklaces and little boxes that I can use to charge up food. And I get this all from this company called Lila Q. Now, I realize that some quantum energy stuff is not provable by science, but Lila does have third-party studies revealing a remarkable 20 to 30% increase in ATP production, a vital process for cells. Quantum energy has over 59 studies already done and counting. These are randomized double-blind studies these folks are doing for blood quality and HRV optimization. I can't explain it, okay? I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I can explain how quantum energy would increase blood energy or blood quality. Could be placebo. I don't know. But all I can tell you is I wear their necklace. I use their products. I blast my home with their energy. And it's called Lila Q. I've got a podcast with them, a few, if you want to take a deeper dive. But you just go to the website. Check it out. It's kind of fun to surf around. And you know what? If anything, you're going to have some cool looking conversation products at your house and hanging around your neck. I love them. Lila Q, LEELAQ.com. Use code BEN10 for 10% off. LeelaQ.com. Use code BEN10 for 10% off. Hey, you want to spice things up in the bedroom and boost your sexual performance and do it naturally without nasty prescription drugs? You got to check out this stuff, Joy Mode. It's a powder. You put it in water, or if you're like me and you're a savage, you can dry powder into your mouth. Contains clinically supported doses of L-citrulline, arginine, yohimbine, and vitamin C. So after taking this stuff called their Sexual Performance Booster, again, by Joy Mode, your blood levels of arginine and yohimbine increase, and that directly promotes nitric oxide production, penile tissue relaxation, and increased drive. Well, the antioxidant action of vitamin C protects the nitric oxide from oxidative degradation, which then enhances the blood flow promoting activity of the nitric oxide. They thought of everything. They're super smart over at Joy Mode, and collectively these effects enhance sex drive and blood flow naturally to the penis or to the clitoris. My wife takes it too. It's amazing. You get better orgasms, better blood flow. You can kiss nasty prescription medications goodbye and have natural guilt-free energy for boosting your sexual performance. You can get 20% off your first order from Joy Mode. How? Go to usejoymode.com/greenfield. That's usejoymode.com/greenfield. J-O-Y. Usejoymode.com/greenfield. They'll give you 20% off your first order. Last night, I got my shipment in. That's right. Paleo Valley sent me their fermented meat sticks, which are amazing. They're these beef sticks. I gave a few to some of my friends already, which they love. I actually interviewed Stephen Gundry on my podcast, and he talked about how when you look at a lot of these blue zones, the ones that are the highest ranking in terms of longevity eat meat, but the meat that they eat is actually fermented. And that's exactly what they've done with Paleo Valley. They've actually taken really good grass-fed, grass-finished beef. They've fermented, which naturally introduces gut-friendly probiotics, but more importantly, breaks down a lot of the sugars that would normally cause meat to be harmful, concentrates the vitamins, makes it more digestible, and they have fantastic flavors. They got the original. They've got one that's like a summer sausage. They have a garlic sausage. They have a teriyaki. It's probably my favorite. And you can now get your hands on fermented beef sticks that basically blow that Slim Jim beef jerky out of the water. So check out paleovalley.com/Ben. That's paleovalley.com/Ben to try out these beef sticks and get 15% off your order. Not just beef sticks, fermented beef sticks. All right, folks, unless you've been, I guess, hiding under a rock in the health and nutrition and supplement industry, you've probably heard about this stuff a lot of people have been talking about called Feel Free. It seems like it's everywhere these days. I did a big podcast about it, gosh, like probably 7 or 8 months ago. That podcast was called The New Drinkable Euphoria Compound That Will Completely Transform the Energy Drink Industry. Which it kind of did. I'll link to that podcast. If you go to bengreenfieldlife.com/new feel free, this is a newer podcast on Feel Free, bengreenfieldlife.com/new feel free. And I had recorded that episode after I'd experienced a few days, or actually weeks in this case, of euphoria and really clean energy that I was getting from this little blue bottle that I was drinking each day. After a friend introduced me to it in Austin, Texas, and it was just like, boom, right away, clean energy, like the social lubricating effect of alcohol without feeling like I was drunk, better sex, better mood, better workouts. Like it was kind of like a cure-all for energy. And basically a blend of kava and kratom, along with a little bit of a pineapple extract and coconut and some stevia. So pretty low calorie too. You know, not one of those things that like breaks a fast for a morning workout or something like that. So you drink it and you feel, as the label kind of says, free. You crave stuff less, and you could use it as a replacement for alcohol or energy drinks or nicotine. And people seem to get pretty euphoric off the stuff. And so it was and is pretty popular. I also did a follow-up episode because even though I'd been recommending it, and I even got to a point where I was drinking like several bottles a day and felt great, there were some folks coming back and reporting things like upset stomach or feeling like they were like drunk or dizzy when they go to the gym with this stuff in their system. Some people were saying like they felt addicted to it or would have withdrawal symptoms when they'd stop using it. And so there were some other problematic issues that people were reporting. So I kind of followed this for a while. I dug into the science and the safety profile and did a follow-up podcast where I really discussed the problem with everything from the fact that it's one bottle and the actual serving size is supposed to be half the bottle, which can be kind of difficult to eyeball or titrate. But I think a lot of people were taking way too much of the stuff. Some people didn't realize that there is a law of diminishing returns, and there were folks complaining, and I'd be like, well, what's your volume? And they'd be like, oh, I'm drinking like 2, 3, sometimes 4 or 5 bottles a day. I'm like, hey, look, like coffee is great, but if you drink 6 a day, it's not that great. Wine, I think, is wonderful. I have a glass of wine every evening, but a whole bottle probably isn't the way to go. And so that was an issue. People were overdosing. They weren't titrating it properly. Sometimes they were drinking it on an empty stomach and experiencing a little bit of stomach upset that kratom can give some people if they have it on an empty stomach. And then a lot of people, as I reported in that follow-up podcast called Is Feel Free Energy Drink Bad For You, which I'll also link to in the show notes, a lot of people, like from a genetic standpoint, just metabolize kratom poorly. And so that was another issue that people were running into. And then finally, as with many of these compounds that do have to get processed by the gut, like if you have a compromised gut or a compromised gallbladder or a compromised liver, like you got to take care of your system internally before you start to throw back like what I would argue are pretty powerful, almost like medicinal type of compounds like this. So there's a lot of subtle nuances. And you may be wondering, after all that, why I would be talking about this, why I would be doing another podcast about this. Well, the guy who I interviewed who invented this stuff and used it to basically get himself off of a pretty problematic alcohol scenario contacted me a few weeks ago, and he sent me this bottle. I've got it right here. You know, it's shaking. You can hear this. It's capsules. And this is like an encapsulated version of Feel Free. And it's kind of interesting because, as you know, like I mentioned, one of the issues with Feel Free was I think people were taking too much. Well, one of these capsules is like 1/6 of a serving of the bottle. 3 capsules is half a bottle. 6 capsules would be like a full bottle. And so you can titrate the dosage. And I thought that that was interesting. So I started to give it to some friends and use it myself who had all had Feel Free. And everybody came back and they're like, dude, like my stomach is totally solid on this. No issues at all. The other issue that a lot of people had was they didn't like that mouth numbing effect. Well, since you're swallowing the capsules, you don't get the mouth numbing effect. The capsules travel, the liquid glass bottles, well, let's face it, they don't travel that well. They're fragile. And you don't have to shake the capsules to get all every last bit of goodness out of the bottle because they're basically just capsules. So there was a lot of interest that I had in these capsules when my guest on today's show, JW, sent them over to me. So I told him, look, we should get a podcast and actually talk a little bit about this, cover some of the things that people have been concerned about with Feel Free, answer some more questions. And then, dude, like I want to be able to tell people about these capsules, because even though this bottle I'm holding says R&D batch, which stands for research and development batch, not for sale, I think they are going to hit the streets pretty soon. So I want to let you guys know about them and talk a little bit more about Kava, Kratom, and the whole interplay behind all this stuff. So my guest on today's show is, like I said, the inventor of Feel Free. His name is J.W. Ross. He's an innovator. He's an investor. He was in the financial world for a while, and now he is the mastermind behind this Feel Free stuff. So we're going to have a little chat about all of this. And if you like what you hear, if you want to follow the links, if you want to learn more about this or listen to the previous podcast that I did on Feel Free, you can go to bengreenfieldlife.com/newfeelfree. That's bengreenfieldlife.com/newfeelfree. So JW, welcome back to the show, my friend.
Thanks for having me on again, Ben.
Yeah, and I know you were talking before we got going. I think you texted me a photo this morning. You broke your foot. You're like laid up at home.
Yeah, I Thursday night we had some construction going on in front of the house, and I was going down to lock the front gate. Didn't realize that they had removed a step and basically rolled off of it and broke my foot.
Jeez, how long ago was that?
That was Thursday evening.
Wow. Like, are you like totally laid up or what's going on?
No, actually, I made it to the gym this morning up in Adam again.
You made it to the gym with a broken foot?
Yep.
I'm sure next thing you're going to tell me, like you had four bottles of Feel Free to get you through that or something.
Well, the Feel Free definitely helps, especially at my age at 60.
Well, what do you do at the gym with a broken foot? Like, what does your exercise routine look like when you bust it up like that?
Well, I'm in a walking cast, so it was today. It was just pretty much all upper body, different machines and dumbbells and what have you.
I'm sure you'll get healed up okay, and you can always ping me later about some tricks for healing up a bone faster. Actually, I'll tell you right now, like pulse electromagnetic field therapy, PEMF, that stuff's amazing for bone injuries if you're able to get your hands on one of those units. I'm a big fan of like supports like, and so anything that's like eggshell, like ground up eggshell in smoothies, bone meal or bone meal extract, bone marrow, anything for blood flow. There's even infrared light seems to have a little bit of an ability to be able to speed up healing. Magnesium, calcium, you know, a lot of the usual minerals. So those are a few things. I've got a podcast out there. I should shoot it over to you on how to get broken bones to feel faster.
I'm all for, you know, doing everything I can to get this thing, because it's just annoying. You know?
Yeah.
I want to get back to my normal routine.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I hear you. It's frustrating when you have a major joint like that that's beat up. Want to get back into the Feel Free. And obviously, as I mentioned in the introduction, you have this new capsule stuff that is, by the way, amazing. Congratulations on launching it, because I think it's going to solve a lot of problems that people have had with Feel Free. And I'm always kind of cognizant and slightly self-aware, I suppose, when I'm talking to the inventor of a product and bringing up problems that people have reported with the product. But I think we can all be radically transparent here, because I'm sure you've heard some of the issues people complain about as well. So we can talk about the capsules and some of the issues later on. But just in case, for people who haven't heard about Feel Free or haven't heard your story, just a very quick overview. You were basically, weren't you addicted to alcohol or pretty problematically attached to alcohol before you actually wound up trying to research plant medicines that could get you off of it?
Yeah, I was self-medicating for a long time. I started from the time I've had my first drink when I was 15, 16 years old. And I did it because I always felt kind of socially awkward. Didn't really feel comfortable in my own skin, didn't feel comfortable communicating, you know, especially with larger groups of people. And the first time that someone, you know, handed me a glass of alcohol to drink, it was love at first sight, because I went from what I just described to feeling like I was the life of the party.
Right.
That was, like I said, 15, 16 years old. Between there and when I was in my early 40s, you know, I was very driven and very successful financially, but my alcohol consumption, you know, kind of went along on the same curve with that. And at some point became, you know, even above that trajectory, you know, it started really causing serious problems in my life. And I, you know, having been successful in every other aspect of my life and being able to what I thought control things, I just kept trying to figure out different ways to control alcohol. I finally, you know, gave in to the fact that I couldn't control it. I couldn't control my consumption. And the consequences, you know, by that point were large enough that any rational person would have, you know, stopped or cut back, and I couldn't do it.
Yeah. And so at that point, you got into researching like the Cava and the Kratom and some of these South Pacific islands where they were using this type of stuff, and wound up kind of cooking up the batch of Feel Free in your kitchen and going from there.
Yeah. I, you know, the kind of the climax of was when I, you know, got to the point for, you know, friends and family intervention, and went off to 90-day inpatient treatment, which is the first time, you know, since I was extremely young that I'd ever not worked and really just focused on myself. What I, you know, realized was that, you know, I was listening to this voice in my head that said, you know, I could control it, and I couldn't, and that I needed to stop doing that. So I came out of treatment. I've not had a drink since then. That's 12 years ago. But I, you know, had a better life, but I sure didn't feel right. I guess it was, they call it dry drunk, or I couldn't function the way I wanted to socially, basically isolating myself. And I realized that if I didn't come up with a solution, that I was going to go back to what I was doing before. So I'm a research fanatic. I'd always been, even though the alcohol was in play, the rest of my life was pretty healthy, which is a kind of a paradox, but I didn't connect the fact that alcohol is actually a junk food. I decided to try to go into the market and try to find something else that, you know, would give me the feel of alcohol.
And to clarify, by the way, like alcohol can be a junk food, but like I mentioned, like I actually think that microdosing with small amounts of alcohol, kind of like I do, like a little bit of organic biodynamic wine at the end of the day. I mean, heck, there's a company, they sponsor my podcast, Dry Farm Wines. And like, I can easily have a glass of that a day and feel fine. And even have seen a lot of data on some of these centenarian blue zones that tend to do something very much like that. Although it kind of leaves out the fact that in many cases, people who are drinking wine, you know, they have less stress, they're with friends. Like there's a lot of confounding variables. Nonetheless, yeah, the dose is the poison, and the delivery method too.
Right, right. I like most things. I'd probably use the wrong word. It's a processed food is what I should have said.
No, I get what you're saying. I think people get it. So basically you were on alcohol. It was pretty rough. You finally got off of it. And once you came through the detox, you kind of felt a little blah, a little dead.
Yeah. I just, you know, I didn't feel comfortable again in my own skin, just like I did when I started, you know. And then I said, well, I've got to find something else, or I'm going to go back to alcohol because I can't live like this. And I started trying everything that was in the market legal, and none of that seemed to really do much for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried pretty much everything that was illegal, and almost all of that did too much for me.
You mean like LSD, psilocybin, like those type of things?
Yes. Yeah. And pretty much everything I could get my hands on. And I was looking for something that I could go work out, I could go to work, you know, I wouldn't worry about driving a car. And, you know, even hopefully, you know, the Holy Grail, it would enhance that while feeling good, not inebriated, and I couldn't find it. So I started researching and I looked around the world over, you know, what people have been using, you know, for social lubricants in different, you know, civilizations over the last several thousand years. And I started traveling around and gathering up these different plants and actually, you know, spent time in different places like Southeast Asia, watching how they were using them. Even any of those didn't give me the feeling by themselves of what I was looking for that alcohol gave me. So I got the crazy idea to start trying to mix them together. And I set up a informal lab in my house. I spent 2 years trying all different combinations, different percentages, using myself as a guinea pig. My wife had thought I'd gone off the deep end. And I finally found the right two plants, the right percentages, the right strains to give me that feeling I had when I first had alcohol.
That's basically, you know, in a nutshell, the story that you and I unpack in pretty significant detail in the last episode that we did. And I don't necessarily want to rehash the stuff that people could go and download and listen to. And again, like if you guys want the full story and a lot of the nitty gritty details of what JW just kind of went over, you go over there and check and listen to that episode. But we talked about, you can correct me if I'm wrong on any of this stuff, JW, but we talked about how you found kind of like this 10-to-1 ratio of kava to kratom. Sourced it. I think the kratom, what was the kava from, was from Vanuatu. And then you got the kratom from like the South Pacific, like Indonesia, right?
From Indonesia, yes.
Yeah. And then added the pineapple juice for the vitamin C and the coconut cream for better delivery of the fat soluble compounds across the blood brain barrier. And then like a really unique form of stevia that lends a nice flavor, bottled it up. And at that point, you know, you kind of had the stuff that we did a pretty big podcast about last time that the people have really found a lot of success drinking and adding to the protocol. And so that's like everything in a nutshell that you and I got to in the last podcast that we did. And again, if you go to bengreenfieldlife.com/new, feel free, you can listen into that episode. And I've gotten a lot of folks writing in and commenting since then that they've found success like stacking it sometimes with caffeine. Other people have stacked it with, you know, speaking of psilocybin, like microdoses of some different plant medicine type of compounds. Others have used it for, again, like an alternative to alcohol in the evenings, a little bit of sparkling water, and kind of used it as a mixer for a cocktail. Part of it's, you know, all roses and puppies and kittens, as they say, or at least as I say, then part of it is a lot of people were having issues like withdrawal symptoms or feeling like they were addicted to it. And again, I at first was a head scratcher for me because I never really experienced any of that stuff, although I did have some gut discomfort, as I do with a lot of things. I started testing it pretty heavily and I got up to like 5 to 6 bottles a day at one point, just to see what would, you know, how it did with my liver enzyme markers and everything else. And yeah, at that point my gut seemed to not like it very much. And, you know, other people have written to me, probably written to you as well, I would imagine, and reported issues. And that's why I did that last podcast. Did you get a chance to listen to that last podcast I did, kind of covering?
I did. Yes. Yeah. You did a great job with that.
Yeah, some of the mistakes that people were making with it. Like, you know, for example, what do you think when it comes to like that concept of overdosing, like people drinking too much? And I realize for you as a business owner, it's probably a difficult question. It's like, yeah, people are using too much of something that I own and sell. But do you agree? Like some people are just like taking way too much of this stuff.
Anything that makes you feel good can be habit forming. You know, in fact, anything that makes you feel good is habit forming because it makes you feel good. And that can be sex, that can be alcohol, that can be caffeine, you know, that can be pizza. To me, that's not the question because it's a given. Question is if I do this on a regular basis, is it going to hurt me physically or socially? That's what we should be concerned with. And what I can tell you is that when done as we, you know, prescribe, we've not had a single person, and we're selling now over 1 million servings a month, report any issues, no elevated blood, liver enzymes, blood sugars, anything like that, any kind of social issues. There are people out there that are using too much of it. Just like there are people out there, you know, taking too much caffeine, too much alcohol or whatever else. But from a personal standpoint, you know, I've been consuming it on a regular basis for almost 4 years now.
You mean you've been using it like basically every day?
Correct. And what I found is that unlike alcohol, I've reached a level where I found the sweet spot and I can control that. I don't crave it so bad that I have to have more. And I found that that's the right amount. Fortunately, like I explained on the prior podcast, you know, very early on, I was concerned that, you know, people would abuse it. So I did abusive levels of it for about 3.5-4 months. When I say abusive levels, 6 bottles a day.
Yeah, which is a lot. That's technically like back to what you were mentioning about the recommended usage that you have on your website and on the bottle. That's technically 12 servings a day because one bottle is supposed to be 2 servings. I think a lot of people didn't even realize that.
Yeah. And what I found was that I still didn't have elevated liver enzymes or, you know, any kind of negative change in blood chemistry, but I felt, you know, toxic.
Yeah.
I didn't get the feeling that I get, you know, at a more moderate dose. What I wanted to see was that because I knew that some people would abuse it because it makes you feel good, I wanted to make sure it wasn't, even at those levels, it wasn't going to cause any serious physical harm. And I know of some other people that have, you know, have reported the same thing. I mean, they don't feel good doing that level of it, but it's not like it's you know, hurting them physically.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, really, it's not as though you can't go to PubMed. And by the way, I'm talking specifically about Kratom. I think Kava, like I have taken massive amounts of Kava before and, you know, and drinking bowls and bowls of the stuff in Hawaii. And actually did recently a podcast with a guy who has a Kava company. And he just like gave me these super, super high end extracts from Vanuatu, the same place you get your Kava, that island. And I mean, like, it's very difficult to OD on Kava. I think the issue that a lot of people have, and this is what I talked about in the other episode, is a lot of the alkaloids in Kratom causing everything from constipation to stomach upset. Some people will get like, you know, even like hemorrhoids from using too much of it because of the straining. And that's the issue where, yeah, you got to be careful with the dosage and you have to titrate accordingly. And I think that people were just using too much. And then I also, you know, like I talked about in that podcast about whether or not feel free, you know, could be bad for you. And again, I know this is tough for you as a business owner, but I have a coffee company and some people are very slow caffeine metabolizers and can barely drink any of the coffee that I sell from my coffee company without feeling crappy. And my response to them is like, don't drink very much of my coffee. That's like what you do. I mean, same thing with Kratom. I don't know if you'd agree with me, but like if people, you know, go listen to that podcast and it turns out that genetically they're a poor metabolizer of Kratom, well, either A, just don't use the stuff. It's not for you. Sorry. You know, go back and pick your parents because turns out your body can't metabolize Kratom very well. Or B, and we'll talk about this a little bit later, figure out a way to microdose and titrate the dosage via a delivery mechanism that's far easier to titrate the dosage with, you know, because I'm sure you probably do agree with me. Like it's hard to titrate the actual dosage in the bottle. Like not only do you not know if like some of the Kratom settled at the bottom, you kind of like eyeballing through the blue glass. That's a little bit hard to see through. Did I drink half a bottle? Did I drink 3/4 of a bottle? You know, and for people who do fine with this stuff, you can just slam it like you and me. It's a non-issue. For other people, I think it was becoming an issue. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I mean, I also, you know, sitting here thinking while you're talking, you know, before this, I was consuming massive, massive quantities of caffeine. I think the reason I was doing that is because it just took a lot more for me. And I, you know, I was consuming caffeine up until the point I went to bed and I go right to bed. You know, when I came off of that, it was, you know, the withdrawals are pretty serious. I mean, when I say serious, you know, incredible headaches.
You mean just, from you caffeine?
Know, yeah.
Yeah.
Fogginess. But I was doing, you know, way, way, way too much of it. And it became pretty much ineffective.
Well, that's the thing with caffeine is it was banned by WADA for a while as an illegal performance-enhancing aid because of its effects on amplifying exercise performance and reducing rating of perceived exertion and increasing time to exhaustion. But a lot of people, they're like, what are you talking about? I have 6 cups of coffee a day and I don't experience that. Well, so much of the population is so accustomed to caffeine that if anybody were to actually like wash out the adenosine receptors by quitting caffeine for about 14 days or so, sometimes less than that. And some people it's as few as 7 days by switching to decaf, drinking, you know, decaffeinated tea, et cetera. And then you come back to caffeine. Like, not only do you feel as though somebody's like shot you in the arm with intramuscular adrenaline and epinephrine, but you also can nearly have like this psychotropic, like entheogenic effect from this drug that you even realize was so powerful that you've been consuming in such high dosages that you've almost like grown unaccustomed to the effects. So, yeah, I mean, it's very, very interesting when you look at a lot of these drugs that folks use on a regular basis. I call them drugs. You can call them compounds, you know, plants, whatever. You have to be aware that the body is not just like this wall that you throw stuff at all day long and just, you know, hope stuff sticks to it. And if it doesn't, you're going to be fine. Like, you have to understand the dosage titration. So I think that's incredibly important.
The proof of that personally is I do, you know, 1 cup of tea a day now, and I get more out of that than when I was consuming, you know, 15 cups throughout the day before.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. In my opinion, it's the same thing with something like Feel Free. Like, I always check myself. Like, there was a while where what I would do is after I kind of like did an experiment like you did with drinking a whole bunch, I cut myself down, and this is my protocol now, to 1 bottle a day. And then the other thing that I've been doing is when I travel, I just leave it at home, right? And so when I travel, I don't drink any, you know, and sometimes I'm traveling for 10, 14 days out of the month just because I know if I've not got it around, I won't drink it. I won't become dependent on something. And I do that with that. Like, I do that with NAD. I do that with coffee. I do that with this stuff. I do that with, you know, any micro doses. I do that with nootropics. It's like you have to make sure that you're constantly checking yourself and making sure that you're not attached to anything. I suppose the only caveat to that would be that some people will, let's say like men who use testosterone, they'll be like, well, I'm not going to like stop taking testosterone 1 month and start taking another month, because every guy who has used testosterone knows that you feel ultra crappy when you stop using it. But in people like that, I say, well, admit that you've got a dependency, admit that you're attached to something, but then weigh the advantages and the pros in terms of how that makes your life, your recovery, your muscle gain, your fat loss, your libido, etc., better. And if you're willing to at least say, okay, I'm addicted to it, but it makes life so much better with very, very few side effects that I'm willing to continue to take it on a daily basis. I claim dependency on this and I'm just going to roll with it. And I think that was something like, say, testosterone or something like a daily exercise session or a morning sauna practice or something like that. It's fine. For something that has some type of biochemical side effect or, you know, significant impact when you're dependent upon it and using it on a regular basis, then yeah, just stop using it every once in a while to check yourself and make sure that you're not addicted to it. And again, I know it's tough for you to be on a podcast about your product and have the guy interviewing tell people to like just not take it at certain points to make sure that you're not addicted to it. But I think it's a good idea.
It truly, for me, it isn't about, I mean, we're selling plenty of it. So it's not about selling more of it. It's about people getting some benefit out of it. And I get the rewarding part of what I'm doing is I get, you know, hundreds of calls, emails, communications from people on a weekly basis talking about different ways that it's improved their life. And that to me is what's important. And it's important, you know, to educate the public, to make them aware that, you know, just like anything else that makes you feel good, you know, you need to be careful with this. If 1 ball a week works for you, that's fantastic. I'm not trying to sell you more. I'm trying to educate you to find out what works for you and do that.
I get laughed at. Maybe because it's a little bit woo-woo, esoteric, invisible, whatever. But I use quantum energy. I pray over my food when I eat. I try and emanate positive emotions and feelings towards people. I do like little breath work and Tibetan longevity exercise moves to charge up my body with invisible energy. And yes, I even blast my home and my body with certain quantum energy products like necklaces and little boxes that I can use to charge up food. And I get this all from this company called Lila Q. Now, I realize that some quantum energy stuff is not provable by science, but Lila does have third-party studies revealing a remarkable 20 to 30% increase in ATP production, a vital process for cells. Quantum energy has over 59 studies already done and counting. These are randomized double-blind studies these folks are doing for blood quality and HRV optimization. I can't explain it, okay? I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I can explain how quantum energy would increase blood energy or blood quality. Could be placebo. I don't know. But all I can tell you is I wear their necklace. I use their products. I blast my home with their energy. And it's called Lila Q. I've got a podcast with them, a few, if you want to take a deeper dive. But you just go to the website. Check it out. It's kind of fun to surf around. And you know what? If anything, you're going to have some cool looking conversation products at your house and hanging around your neck. I love them. Lila Q, LEELAQ.com. Use code BEN10 for 10% off. LeelaQ.com. Use code BEN10 for 10% off. Hey, you want to spice things up in the bedroom and boost your sexual performance and do it naturally without nasty prescription drugs? You got to check out this stuff, Joy Mode. It's a powder. You put it in water, or if you're like me and you're a savage, you can dry powder into your mouth. Contains clinically supported doses of L-citrulline, arginine, yohimbine, and vitamin C. So after taking this stuff called their Sexual Performance Booster, again, by Joy Mode, your blood levels of arginine and yohimbine increase, and that directly promotes nitric oxide production, penile tissue relaxation, and increased drive. Well, the antioxidant action of vitamin C protects the nitric oxide from oxidative degradation, which then enhances the blood flow promoting activity of the nitric oxide. They thought of everything. They're super smart over at Joy Mode, and collectively these effects enhance sex drive and blood flow naturally to the penis or to the clitoris. My wife takes it too. It's amazing. You get better orgasms, better blood flow. You can kiss nasty prescription medications goodbye and have natural guilt-free energy for boosting your sexual performance. You can get 20% off your first order from Joy Mode. How? Go to usejoymode.com/greenfield. That's usejoymode.com/greenfield. J-O-Y. Usejoymode.com/greenfield. They'll give you 20% off your first order. Last night, I got my shipment in. That's right. Paleo Valley sent me their fermented meat sticks, which are amazing. They're these beef sticks. I gave a few to some of my friends already, which they love. I actually interviewed Stephen Gundry on my podcast, and he talked about how when you look at a lot of these blue zones, the ones that are the highest ranking in terms of longevity eat meat, but the meat that they eat is actually fermented. And that's exactly what they've done with Paleo Valley. They've actually taken really good grass-fed, grass-finished beef. They've fermented, which naturally introduces gut-friendly probiotics, but more importantly, breaks down a lot of the sugars that would normally cause meat to be harmful, concentrates the vitamins, makes it more digestible, and they have fantastic flavors. They got the original. They've got one that's like a summer sausage. They have a garlic sausage. They have a teriyaki. It's probably my favorite. And you can now get your hands on fermented beef sticks that basically blow that Slim Jim beef jerky out of the water. So check out paleovalley.com/Ben. That's paleovalley.com/Ben to try out these beef sticks and get 15% off your order. Not just beef sticks, fermented beef sticks. Let's talk about this new stuff. There's these capsules right here that I'm holding in my hand that you sent to me. Tell me about why you decided to encapsulate the formula.
So we've been in the market now for a little over 2 years. And as I said, it's been incredibly successful. But, you know, I've been watching, you know, taking feedback from tens of thousands of people on their experience with this. And the cons have been what you brought up earlier about, you know, it's hard to keep the dosage, you know, titrate dosage. You know, it doesn't taste good. I don't like the numbing effect.
Which, by the way, I actually personally like the numbing effect. Same thing with kava.
Yeah, or I get nauseous. So I started working on about a year ago, started working on trying to solve these issues. And what I came up with, or what our research and development team came up with, was, you know, putting it in a capsule form, a vegan capsule, and it solved all of that. You know, we have people that couldn't even consume the tonic because of the taste and then the subsequent nausea feeling, that now can take it and have no issues, even on an empty stomach. And, you know, as far as the dosage, as you pointed out earlier, it's very easy now to know exactly what dosage you're getting, because six of those capsules equal one bottle, which is two servings.
I actually have a lot of questions about the encapsulated formula. So first of all, just to clarify, if I take one of these capsules, I'm getting like 1/3 of a dosage of Feel Free, right?
That's correct.
Okay, gotcha. And what I actually did was I started taking them when I would travel, to basically eliminate the need to take glass bottles with me. But before I started doing that, I started to experiment with the stuff that you sent me. And like I mentioned, I gave it to some friends also who had used the bottled stuff and had even had some of the issues that others have reported on with the bottled stuff, like difficulty titrating, taking too much, the impact on the gut, etc. And they all absolutely love the stuff, particularly because you can titrate the dosage. And I mean, people who want the effects of kava and kratom without taking the massive amount that you might get from drinking a whole bottle of Feel Free, you just take like one capsule, maybe two, and you're not even up to a full dosage and you feel pretty good. First question that I have is, obviously you don't have the coconut cream and the stevia and the pineapple in there. Do you think that affects the uptake or the absorptability, or did you just decide to leave them out because it didn't matter?
It's interesting, and I guess it's because it's, you know, a different experience going through your digestive system, but it doesn't seem to change the experience that you have. I mean, the only thing that you don't have is you don't have the mouth numb. It takes 30 minutes for the capsule to burst in your stomach, versus if you take it, you know, through the tonic, it hits in about 15 minutes. But as far as the what I call the curve, the way it feels, it's exactly the same. In hindsight now, I'm thinking the enhancement of bioavailability from the other things we were putting in there may not be that meaningful.
I'm not really sure. I mean, it seems as though, based on, you know, what I understand as far as the absorption and the transport across the blood-brain barrier, there may be, and there should be, a little bit of a different effect. I can't really tell for sure if there's a difference, for example, in the mental acuity with the capsules versus the liquid. I guess the best way I can describe it is, if I take a half bottle of the liquid or I take three of the capsules, I feel that's because my favorite way to use it is pre-workout. I feel that same pre-workout pick-me-up. There's something about the liquid where I feel like maybe there's a little bit more something going on with the brain. I'm guessing that might be because of the absence of the lipids in the capsule. But nonetheless, like if you've got, say, like travel, or you want to titrate the dosage, these capsules are a pretty handy way to go. Are you still going to keep the liquid though, or are you just going to go just sell pure capsules?
I think what you just described, that difference, is actually happening orally. It's, you know, the kava, a big part of the kava is that Novocaine numbing effect. Mm-hmm. And I think somehow that translates to the brain, and the brain, you know, it like sets the stage and is part of the experience that you have.
Yeah, you mean almost like it wouldn't be called a haptic effect, but I guess like I don't know, almost like a psychosomatic response to the numbing effect, as though your body knows that there's something going on.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. That's what I'm, you know, I can't prove that, but I think that's what's going on.
Okay, got it. Now, in terms of the capsules, are they just going to be this bottle, or do you have other mechanisms in which you're selling it?
So the capsules will come in a bottle that contains 90 capsules. So that's, you know, 30 servings. They come in a little pouch that has six capsules in it. So it's equal to a bottle of tonic. So they're, you know, in two different forms. as you said, you know, the big thing about it is, and I've traveled a lot with Feel Free, is the tonic can be a pain to travel with. And these capsules are, you know, I just got back from an extended trip to Vanuatu, filming a documentary for public television on Cava. And I took a supply to supply everybody in the film crew and everything, you know, very easily to pack and travel with.
Okay, got it. The capsules are also in like some kind of, I think you were telling me there's like a sachet you can get as well as a bottle.
Yeah, it's a little pouch, you know, it's resealable that holds six capsules. About the same size as a Post-it.
Same size as a Post-it. You mean the sachet is the same size as a Post-it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, another question that I have, and this is not related to the capsule specifically, but I guess related to both the capsules and liquid, is somebody was asking me about your guys' sourcing. And this is kind of a big issue because kratom, like a lot of things, you know, a lot of Chinese adaptogenic herbs, a lot of like Ayurvedic herbs, is known for rampant differences or significant differences in the quality between the strains. And someone had asked me if I knew what you guys were using as far as a source, or if they could get like a laboratory certificate of analysis to see if you're using like a clean source or something like that. Can you tell me about the sourcing on the kratom particularly?
Yeah, kratom, both the kratom and the kava, we, you know, do extensive lab testing on. The stuff comes when you purchase it. It comes with, you know, certificates of analysis, but we do our own third-party testing with a, you know, national recognized lab here. And, you know, we check everything, pesticides, heavy metals. We check alkaloid ratios because it's very similar to cannabis. Different strains of kratom will do completely different things. So we have a profile of about eight of the alkaloids that we make sure that we stay in that band, you know, ratio percentage wise, because once you start getting out of that band, it's a different experience. And then the kava, that was the other reason why I was in Vanuatu. It's in my experience, the kava from Vanuatu is way better than the kava from anywhere else that I've found. It's something about the strains that are there. And we're actually doing the DNA profiling of the kava right now, which I didn't realize the DNA of plants is much more complex than humans. It's a very involved process. There's something about two or three certain strains from Vanuatu that it's just really a wonderful plant. You know, I experienced that 30 years ago for the first time, just in a one-time experience. But being there recently and having a group of people that had never tried it before and having them try, you know, green kava ceremony and watching how they interact and watching the evening and the dinner and all that, it was even more enlightening than what I already knew as far as you said earlier, what a wonderful social lubricant that kava is. Even beyond that, the island we were staying on, there was some businessmen that had been in the area for quite some time, and they have interest throughout the Pacific Islands. And we were discussing it, and they said they even noticed a significant difference in violence and crime rates in the islands that are primarily alcohol versus the islands that are primarily kava. The kava islands, you leave your doors open, there's not really any crime. The alcohol islands are just the opposite, you know, and you're never going to wake up the next morning and have a hangover or anything else. I mean, it's just a very, very wonderful social lubricant.
Yeah, kava seems pretty safe, even at high dosages, at least from the good strains that I've had. And so regarding what you were saying about the purity of the kratom or the sourcing of the kratom, if somebody were to reach out to you, like if someone were listening were to reach out to you, are you able to supply the certificate of analysis or anything like that?
Yeah, we do it all the time.
So okay.
Anytime somebody wants any of that information, more than open to share it with them.
Okay. All right, cool. And they could just probably open up a support ticket on your website and ask for something like that.
Yeah, it's just go to hi@botanictonics.com.
Hi@botanictonics.com. Like H-I?
H-I, yes.
All right, cool. That's helpful. That actually, I think, will be super helpful for a lot of people who might be concerned about this.
Or any other things you want to ask or experiences that you've had. The more feedback we get, the better that we can continue to improve.
Got it. Cool. Regarding the capsules and the liquid, these are obviously your main two formulas, but do you guys plan on doing anything else as far as like additional products, additional formulas, anything like that?
We're probably going to be launching the next version in, I'm going to say, probably February or March of next year. It's a non-kratom version, feel free. It's getting very, very close to the same experience that you feel with Feel Free.
So is that just pure kava?
It's kava and actually three other ingredients that at this time I don't want to disclose. It's three ingredients that are fairly mainstream. It's something, again, about it took a long time of different strains, different percentages, and in the process that we put them together to come up with this, but it's a very wonderful experience.
Yeah, cool. And the current ratio, again, and just make sure I'm correct on here with the kratom on the current batch, is 10-1 kava to kratom, right?
That is correct. Yes.
Okay. Cool. Because I'm reading the label right here. It's basically this kava root extract on the capsule, three capsules, 250 milligrams of kava lactones, and then for the 7-hydroxy metragenine of the alkaloids in kratom, says 25. So yeah, 10-1, 250 mg of the kava and 25 mg of the kratom.
Yeah, for those that are familiar with kratom, 25 milligrams of alkaloids is a very low serving.
Yeah, interesting. I've been getting a lot of benefit out of both. I'm hoping that this has really filled people in on some of the concerns and also some of the best practices regarding Feel Free. And then I also wanted to ask you, like, is there anything at this point that, just based on the feedback you've gotten from users or experimentation yourself, that you've found combines really well with Feel Free, like any other compounds or foods or anything like that?
MCT oil, quite a few people that are using that. And as you mentioned before, different forms of caffeine. Just to, on a very high level, the kava is very, very relaxing. It's relaxing, but it's also, to me, alcohol, the reason it's a social lubricant is it enhances you. It makes you like more aggressive, more open. And that's why they call it, liquid courage. Kava makes you more social, but it does it by quietening you down. And then you're focused on everyone around you and you're more open to listening to them and having a more meaningful conversation relationship with them. It's a different way of getting there. Kratom, its primary use for thousands of years was for workers in the field for endurance. Feel good, but also endurance. So when you mix the two of them together, you get the best of both worlds. You get this really relaxed, calm, social feeling, but at the same time, you get the endurance part of kratom. Synergistically, there's something happening with this certain strains that you're getting this incredible focusing ability too. Most people report that, allows you then to crush a workout or crush a work assignment or whatever, whatever it is that you're doing. I think the caffeine that people are adding is for people, you spoke about it earlier, that need a little bit more of the boost to offset the relaxing feeling of the kava. They're getting the ratio they need by enhancing it with caffeine or some other substance.
Okay. All right. Got it. Interesting. So the liquid, you gave my audience a 40% discount on, I think it's like bengreenfieldlife.com/feelfree. I think that gives you an automatic discount code, or you could use the discount code Ben40 if you're just on the website. I know you're going to do something similar for these capsules. I think it's just, I believe it's just Ben is a discount code for the capsules instead of Ben40 for the liquid. And that gets you a bottle of 90 capsules or a sachet of the 6 capsules. I'll put all that information, if you go to the show notes, at bengreenfieldlife.com/new, feel free. Or if you just wind up on the website, you can use code Ben for the capsules for 40% for a subscription or purchase, or Ben40 on the drink for a subscription or purpose. So JW's been pretty generous with the amount that he's knocking off of the cost of this stuff, because I know it's not inexpensive, but I hope that helps out. A lot of people want to try this stuff out.
Anytime that someone said, I don't like it for whatever reason, you know, we've refunded money. You know, so if it doesn't work for you, you know, shoot us an email. We'll refund your money.
Yeah, cool. Those are all the questions that I had about this new formula. Anything else that you wanted to share with people before I let you go, J-Dub?
Again, I think, you know, kratom is a very controversial plant. It's very important that, you know, we're really supporting the American Kratom Association, because the American Kratom Association is working to get kratom regulation passed on a state-by-state basis and now on a federal level. And that regulation makes sure that it's, you know, that everybody's testing for, you know, contaminants. But more importantly, it is outlawing the extracts and the synthetics. And just like with Covalise and turning it into cocaine, unfortunately, what's happening here in the U.S. is that kratom is being, you know, through the same process, they're removing two alkaloids out of 50 using either solvents or CO2. They're creating these high concentration extracts. And those become a much different deal. Those are really just about getting high. And we are really the only shot on the market that's not a high concentration extract. It's just full ground leaf. And that's the way it's been used for thousands of years without issues. So it's important that people understand that you can't just say kratom and think you're covering everything, that there's two totally different ways that kratom can be served. And that, unfortunately, right now, the majority of the market is the extract. But the good news is that we've got passed in 6 states kratom regulations, 17 more in the process of passing it. And the federal bill is being introduced later this month or next month. I think we have the support to get that passed, which will alter that and hopefully allow people to have a better experience.
What's the federal bill about?
The federal bill is going to be exactly the same thing as the state bills are. And that's two things. One is it sets, you know, contaminant levels, heavy metals and what have you, within, you know, normal standards. And then it also outlaws high concentration extracts and synthetics.
Okay, gotcha. So, and feel free wouldn't be considered like a high concentration extract or synthetic, right?
No, it's not. We use just pure ground leaf.
Okay. All right, gotcha.
That's why the dosage is so small in that the serving is, because you can't get that much in there without using an extract.
Okay. All right, gotcha. Interesting. Well, this is really helpful, and I hope that this has answered a lot of questions for people. But again, like, if not, you can always contact JW, and you could even leave a comment or question or feedback at bengreenfieldlife.com/new, feel free. It's bengreenfieldlife.com/new, feel free. In the meantime, you can also use that code Ben for 40% off of the capsules, which I highly recommend you try if the liquid's not working out for you and you want to titrate the dosage. I think it's highly advisable to start very, very small and then work your way up from there if this stuff has given you issues in the past. And then code Ben40 still works for 40% off of the drink. And I'm looking forward to trying that new Kava only one that you're making too, JW. So you've got a lot of interesting stuff that you're putting out there in the Batman Labs, feel free. And this new one, I think, is going to solve a lot of issues for a lot of people, which is why I wanted to do a podcast about it. So thanks for this, JW. I appreciate it. And I'm hoping that you get that broken foot healed up soon.
All right. Thanks, man. Thanks for having me on.
All right, folks. I'm Ben Greenfield, along with JW Ross from Botanic Tonics. Feel free. Signing out from BenGreenfieldLife.com. Again, show notes are at BenGreenfieldLife.com/new. Feel free. Have an amazing week. More than ever these days, people like you and me need a fresh, entertaining, well-informed, and
often outside-the-box approach to discovering the health and happiness and hope that we all crave. So I hope I've been able to do that for you on this episode today. And if you liked it, or if you love what I'm up to, then please leave me a review on your preferred podcast listening channel, wherever that might be. And just find the Ben Greenfield Life episode. Say something nice. Thanks so much. It means a lot.